Polyhedron is a production of Simulacra Studios. You can find us on Twitter at SimulacraRPGs or at PolyhedronCast. If the visual medium is your thing, you can follow us at Simulacra TV on both Twitch and YouTube. If you'd like to support the show, you can go to patreon.com/SimulacraStudios and sign up to be a patron.
Hello and welcome to Polyhedron, your multifaceted podcast for everything RPG related. I am your host, Matthew, and as always, I have my two friends and two little black boxes. I got Ryan.
Heyo.
And Scott.
Everything's all right.
Everything will be okay.
Everything's going to be okay, guys.
Everything will be just fine.
That seemed, yeah, you know what? I agree with that.
Yeah. Welcome
to Polyhedron. We're getting existential about it.
Polyhedron, your existential podcast.
Your existential
what,
gaming.
What was the thing that she saw at the beginning of A Good Place? Like when she opens her eyes for the first time, there's like
everything is fine.
Everything is fine. Yeah.
Hello, everything is fine.
God, what a great show! Like what a masterpiece of a show.
Yeah, and done in like 30-minute chunks too. Like it's a testament to exceptional writing. Mm-hmm.
Just tight as a drum.
Correct. I don't think I can ever watch that last episode again.
Nope.
I have watched the last season twice. But like once right through, and then I went back to I went through it all again and I watched it and I was like, God damn, this is real good. Like really, real good.
And I agree. And I'll never watch the last episode again.
It was because it hurts so beautifully. Like it was very, so
it's a very pretty and appropriate ending. But I'll be motherfucked if I want to see it again.
But we know what we know what happens to Chidi after he dies. He goes to the quantum realm.
That's true. He does go to the quantum realm.
Well,
and end game's telepathy, you know.
Yeah, he gets seven powers and faces off against a guy who hits ladies. I don't know.
Allegedly. The more and more that goes on. Like,
I don't know
how that's going to shake out.
Hilarious. Not hilarious that happened. But like the amount of like.
Let's effort. The amount of effort they put into him.
Fine. I mean, I do like. I do like that, like, huge, gigantic corporations have to, like, scramble and fucking, like, all their plans laid to naught. It just sucks because I like those movies. Like,
I mean, there's a thing in the news we should talk about since we're talking about giant corporations and stuff. But before we get to that, Scott, how's your gaming been?
My gaming's been pretty good. Had our Aberrant game recently.
Yes, finally.
Yeah, good. I finished up my one of two Aeon games that are running. I got that all in the can. Hopefully we'll be able to finish the second one within about a month or so, maybe. All of which is, you know, impending my giant move to another house, which is going to put the kibosh on role-playing for a little bit.
Yep.
In terms of my own studio and shit. But trying to get some shit in the can, you know. That's all that it is.
Yep. Very cool. Anything else?
Not much. Oh, I mean, video game wise, Jedi Survivor. I mean,
don't spoil it for me.
I'm not spoiling shit. I mean, there's some lightsabers. There's lightsabers, and it's great.
It sounds pretty cool. I mean, I'm glad they patched out some of that stuff, or patched out some of the problems. I know they haven't patched all the problems yet. It's across all platforms, unfortunately, that the release date was not up to snuff.
Oh,
like to the point where they're telling PS5 users to turn off HDR. Like, it's like, hey, yeah, it's like, so you're telling me you released a game that wasn't optimized for the consoles you were releasing it for?
Somebody didn't QAQC.
No, they sure as shit did, Matt, and someone had a contract to fulfill. They sure like
yep.
I'm sure if you asked any tester like at that studio, like, yo, what happened? They'd be like, well, we were told that that's the last day was the last day by people who pay, who sign our paychecks. So
I'm sure testing. I'm sure there was a list of bugs that just weren't considered.
Well, they're like, we got to sign off and release it, but keep working, guys, because we're going to have day one, day two, day three, day five, day 20.
I got a big old patch today when I fired it up.
So I actually don't mind waiting, because when I'll play it, by the time I get around to playing it, it will all be patched. It'll pretty much be fixed, and I'll have a seamless experience.
A full game. It'll be a whole game.
Oh, yeah. Whole game. Whole ass game.
I haven't run into any serious problems from my perspective.
You're like, it's a coin flip.
Mm-hmm.
That's the problem. Like, it's not good when people are like, yo, I got a 3080 and I get 30 frames a second. So what the fuck is going on here?
Yep,
like, right. You know, it's just, it really is dependent on like your chipset at some point. Like, it's that down to that level of granularity, I guess.
Yeah.
Annoying. EA made a terrible business decision. Shakarooski.
And Ryan, how is your gaming been?
Oh, well, I've chewed through most of the first Xenoblade Chronicles game because I've had to spend a lot of time, you know, hand-feeding a pet. Oh. So, you know, you spend a lot of time on the couch waiting around for feeding times. So I've played a lot of the dub RPG. It's some weeboo nonsense, but I like it. I mean, it's fun. I will say, though, that if anyone's ever heard of Xenogears, like from the old Squaresoft days, like it is the same guy who has made the entire Xeno and all that. And he has a few tics that he always has. And he likes ladies in full robot bodies because, you know, Cosmos is bae, apparently. And there is one of your party members in Xenoblade Chronicles is literally in Cosmos's armor, like just straight up. If anyone that's from Xenosaga, look it up. It's actually, anyway, all the chicks are stacked and their clothing is ridiculous.
Well, I guess it's my turn.
Yeah, how's your gaming been, Matt?
Not bad. Played some D&D. We are definitely in the Temple of Elemental Evil. We had to run the hell away. We were like, whoops, we are not. Can't do this alone. Bye, guys. And that was a 2.5 hour harrowing experience to escape, when normally we've been able to kick people's shit in. And we were like, nope, we are not tall enough. And we're regrouping. And in 2 weeks, we're probably going to make a big push back into the fourth layer, which is, I think, the last layer of that dungeon.
Mm.
And then we'll proceed to probably the secret fifth layer, which I think is going to happen. Because you have to do super secret layer stuff. Other gaming for like D&D and like for RPGs, not too much. Played your Aberrant game. That was the delight. We still have to deal with Dracula's all the way down.
Look, man, y'all pressed the Dracula button, so now there's Dracula.
That's true. We were all like, oh, this is going to be lighthearted and fun. Let's press the Dracula button.
It was all going so well.
It was all...
I mean, like, I made no secret of it. Aether is not, like, my favorite of the Trinity Continuum games so far. It's just steampunk, that sort of stuff has never been my button. But that it allows me to throw in Dracula.
Also, it lets you throw in random shit that we don't understand as players because it's so new and we have it's one of the few non-traditional of the three main lines. So you're like, here's some weird shit that sort of fits into the setting. And we're like, what?
Yeah. But you know me. I love me like some spooky vampire shit. And
oh, yeah, that's perfectly fine. I'm down for it. This will be great.
Yeah.
As for other stuff, not much. I've been doing stuff for Age of Sigmar. Painting up a lot more minis, printing minis, really. I actually re-drummed my 3D printer, which is basically just replaced the film on it, and it's singing now. Like, it just, the nice, clear, crisp film on it makes the minis just detail pop and everything.
Cool.
I saw Evil Dead Rise over the weekend.
As did I. I fucking love that movie.
I'm behind it. I give my seal of approval.
That was just some solid.
I want to see it again. I don't think, not again, but like I don't think I want to see it just because I don't like gore very much.
I mean, it is so, incredibly
gore. Yeah, that's this
yeah,
is
that, yeah, not my thing. I support what it is doing, but I liked the Evil Dead when it was stupid looking and kind of looked like wet puppets. Now that it's all like real gross. Well, I know kind of what happens because I did watch the RLM.
Mm-hmm.
Read on it, and it's like I support this movie existing and the project that they are attempting to do.
Mm-hmm.
I totally endorse their perspective on it, which I didn't think about until they said it, which is the studio's going like, let's get the moderate budgeted movie again. Like,
fucking thank God.
Like, thank it's okay, make something for $40 million, $50 million.
I totally want to see the guy who made its last movie, like the one from 2019.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I would very much like to see that, actually.
Yeah, the practical, the effects were really good. Like, some of the stuff they pointed out were like, no, you're right. It was very on point.
I will say, there isn't not a wet puppet in it.
Oh, I imagine there is a wet puppet in it. Like, oh, I can't, no doubt.
But it's harder, it's less obviously a wet puppet.
It's less, yeah, it's not a in-your-face wet puppet. It sure is a wet puppet.
Yes, most assuredly a wet puppet.
But I really, I just thought it was very, like, there were a couple of moments that were, like had to turn my head. Like, oh, God.
I did a couple that were, like, I did a little cringy, like, motion with my mouth, like,
The cheese grater.
That got me. Oh, absolutely, 100%. God. Like, I when that thing when you saw him come into frame, I was like, oh no,
I don't want this.
No. And it's really brutal, like, because they just have people to just throw at the proverbial fan. Mm-hmm. Of this thing, they do some awesomely grotesque things. So I
appreciated, like, the psychological horror of it. Like, it wasn't just, like, brutality. It was mindfuckery.
Yeah, a little bit. A lot of odes, obviously, the previous Evil Dead, also, obviously, The Shining, with the whole elevator scene.
Mm-hmm.
But I definitely appreciate it, because I like most of the Evil Dead, and I really do enjoy the Evil Dead series. Supposedly, one of the producers is Bruce Campbell, yes. So they're just kind of writing checks for the movie, which I know about.
Okay, so I thought Ash vs. the Evil Dead was canceled.
It was. It is.
Oh, okay.
I enjoyed the series. Like,
oh yeah, I just heard it didn't. They mentioned that it unfortunately didn't end like satisfactorily, but maybe it will come back.
It ended okay. Like they were like, well, we're obviously wrapping this up, so let's just do this for now.
Yeah. Shit, shit happens.
Well, Bruce Campbell's also really old. Like, I will say this. I enjoyed it, but it didn't have the charismatic lead like Bruce Campbell.
No. I mean, like, I think the lead actress was pretty good. Well, there's like kind of two lead actresses. There's mm-hmm. the monster and the hero.
Yep.
The woman who played the monster, holy shit.
Yeah, she did a excellent job just turning things on a dime. Like, mm-hmm. how to do it, and the makeup helping a lot, and how they did the effects, and really giving you this weird sense of this ominous effect. And also, good on you guys for putting the old record player, like, making that thing a vessel for demonic influence.
I also saw Beau is Afraid, which is the next movie from the guy who did Hereditary and Midsommar.
Yeah. Ari Aster.
I mean, this is not a horror movie.
I've heard.
But it was just very fucked up. Like, it wasn't, like, fucked up in a bad way, but it was, I don't know how to describe this movie. Like, it's just bizarre.
It's a bizarre movie.
The man going on an internal odyssey, apparently, and it doesn't, and it's, you know, pretty spooky.
Yeah, it's pretty spooky. But, I mean, it is, the way they put this movie together, it's a man who's incredibly anxious. Like, he has high-level anxiety. And the way they've cut the movie together and the way they've presented it, it is impossible to tell whether he lives in a world that is just pure madness, or if we're seeing his internal anxiety, because basically anything that can go wrong does go wrong. The worst version of things always happen. So it's like he might be manifesting these things or whatnot, but then they come in with this like plausibility of like this whole thing could have been engineered to fuck with him.
Interesting.
Yeah. It's very hard to tell what's real and what's not.
It's hitting on multiple different like meta levels.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. That is definitely one for the I feel like I want to be experimental tonight and watch this one.
Yeah, I had a weekend when a lot of people were at LARP, and I saw Evil Dead Rise and I saw Bo is Afraid, and both were fucking weird. But Bo is Afraid, holy shit, what a weird ass movie! Like, you gotta, it's so messed up. I described it as best I could.
No, that's fine. I think you described it well enough without spoiling the living thing out of it, because you could go anywhere with a description like that.
Mm-hmm.
All righty. I think we've wrapped that up. So we're going to head on into the news. There's a couple things on the docket. You want to start with the good things or the bad things, everyone?
Let's start with the good things, because the bad thing are going to, like, I mean, it's going to probably be shortened to the point, but Jesus.
Yeah, okay. So there's some good things. What's been going on?
Well,
friend
of the studio, Josh Heath, has a Kickstarter out right now.
Oh, yeah.
For a game called Army Men, which is it's based off D&D 5e is the core system.
Mm-hmm.
But it's set in the world of Army Men. Neat. Plastic Army Men. Like there's a lot of meta going on in terms of like, is this just like a world that exists because of a kid dreaming it up and justifying their Army Men battles? But if so, why is it so deep?
So does he have like a spendable resource called Nuh-uh?
I don't think so. I backed it. I haven't looked at what's been released so far. But he kind of did a video today about like, yes, there is a setting to this. This isn't just, you know, simulationist throwing plastic together. But it's basically like you have this Plasticos Federation, and there's multiple nations, and they've always been at war with one another. But about 50 years, plastic bug monsters invaded the world.
Oh, no.
And so they've had to band together to fight the plastic bug monsters.
Okay. Hey, it's the ant guy. Okay. I know where he's pulling from.
Yeah. Like, so everything in this world is plastic except plants.
Yeah. Because and they're probably very large. Like they might be very large.
Yeah. So it is kind of, and like there are, like I said, there's multiple nations. They all have histories. There's religions and philosophies, some of which try and like probe at the question of why are we like this? On the surface, it's ha-ha, we're playing Army Men. And then it just sort of starts to go down the turtles.
If Army Men were real.
Yes. If the world in which you play with Army Men, you know, and throw them against your plastic bug monsters was a fully fleshed out geopolitical, you know, world.
If you have to have a consistent setting, what is, oh, God. Oh.
Yeah, I know.
Oh.
So, like, it is much more interesting than it seems. Definitely, there'll be a link in the show notes. I urge everyone to take a look at it.
That's delightful. I had seen, like, something about Army Men. Mm-hmm. I didn't know anything about it, and I was like, oh, that's very interesting to me. Mm-hmm. I like that. I think it's cute, too. It's obviously very cute. That mm-hmm. That's an instant appeal. I love it.
Yeah, and, like, I think the fact that they have, you know, the 5e system has freed them up to go ham into the world, the setting of it.
Yeah. Put a little more emphasis, less on mechanics, more on the setting, just to make that work rather than trying to worry too much about the mechanics, making them relatively balanced and or expressive of what you're trying to do.
And it's released to get minis for it.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Speaking of mechanics in 5e. Had not a lot of news, like, super up-to-date. Wizards of the Coast put out their new playtest. We're a little behind the curve on this, but they put a very big Unearthed Arcana out for D&D 1, and this had, like, four or five classes, new feats, new features, and I skimmed it over before the show. Interesting. Ryan, have you looked at this yet?
No. Once they called the Pinkertons on that guy, I've decided they're corporate scum.
That's fair. I kind of chalk it up slightly because that's another part of the news of that's one of the other hands of the corporation probably did that.
I know. It's just that, like, come on, dude.
Yeah. I mean, like, we can get hair splitting and say, like, oh, that was Magic the Gathering side of Wizards and not the D&D side of Wizards.
Yeah, but someone somewhere down the line was like, let's call the Pinkertons.
Yeah, like, yeah, whoever made that call deserves to be fired and put in jail because, well, the money Christ.
And they, like, someone signed off on the money. Someone mm-hmm. signed off. Like, it is not hiring the Pinkertons. First of all, hey, audience, did you know you could hire the Pinkertons today? They still exist.
Yep.
They still do the exact same thing they've been doing for 150 fucking years.
Yep. And
Amazon uses them for strike busting in Europe.
I mean, it's of course they do. It's what the Pinkertons are all about. They love strike busting.
And in return for that, as part of the deal, Amazon Studios is making a movie called The First Pinkerton.
Ugh.
And she is a lady. So it woke Pinkertons.
Woke Pinkertons. Oh, no.
Yeah, for audience, if you're not sure what the Pinkertons are, they were started a very long time ago. They're essentially a private investigation and security firm. But they're commonly used to...
They're just mercenaries.
Yeah, they're mercenaries for corporations.
That will kill anybody, do anything. Like, you, there is no, like, act too deplorable for them. So
because a lot of them are ex police officers or ex
military law
enforcement,
military. Yeah, they're guys who get kicked out of the places where you're allowed to hurt people for hurting people too much or liking it too much, you know, those people.
And so the story is, if you're not familiar, a couple weeks ago, what happened was a guy went on YouTube and was like, hey, I got this new pack. These are cards I've never seen before. Here, look at these. And he put it on YouTube, and he's just a smaller channel. And then a couple days later, he put another video out. But in the middle of recording that one, the Pinkertons showed up at his house from Wizard, under contract from Wizard of Ghost, going, you need to give us everything back, including the wrappers. You stole these. We're going to refer to the authorities, and you're going to get arrested. You're going to get sued.
They came in with threats and intimidation. And this is like, he did not steal this. He bought this for money.
Yep.
Someone made a mistake.
Yep.
He wasn't supposed to sell this to them. He bought one thing, and they sent him another.
Yep.
So it's not... Any accusations of stealing or misappropriation, he didn't sign a fucking NDA.
Nope.
Anything. Somebody fucked up, and instead of holding the people who fucked up accountable, their first response was to hire the fucking Pinkertons.
Yeah, this was...
You know, a phone call or
there wasn't a cease and desist letter, like an email or a letter. This wasn't a representative came to the house, go, hey, we saw the video. This was a mistake. Could you please take it down? There wasn't any more cooperation or dialogue. It was boots to basically the door.
Yeah, it's the amount of oversteer is like. Makes no, like, it's so stupid and so gross that it's almost incomprehensible, but
it's laughable. It's almost laughable. It's like comedic.
I feel sorry for the poor guy who lost his money and had to go through the stress of, you know, being faced down with a bunch of armed thugs who, you know, I'm sure if they had harmed him or broke any of his things, it would have somehow been his fault.
Yeah. Well, I mean, these aren't the cops. So, yeah, like, I'm sure, like, this story may keep going. We may see some lawsuits and whatnot out of this. I hope we do.
I hope we do, because supposedly like he, this whole became a whole thing. Supposedly he got reached out. He reached out to a representative after this whole thing happened, and they've done some backpedaling, some apology, but I don't know what the current status of that situation is.
Well, if they make him listen, what else can you do but apologize at this point, other than make the guy whole for the money he lost because of your fuck ups?
If Wizards really want to make this whole, they would be a full flat out apology public. Give him money and then be like, you can showcase some of these new cards we've got. We're really sorry. We're going to send them to you for free when it's release time. You just need to sign this NDA now when you actually can release them, and we'll go from there. Like, if you want to really walk this back.
Be cool?
Yeah, like, really.
Oh, they could have turned this into like, okay, well, now you just... okay, or this is just like an Amazon order that went wrong and you treat it like that. It's like, hey dog, could you send those back to us, man? We'll send you the right thing. We really can't have that out there. Please, also, could you take this video down?
Also, and I don't blame the guy. Literally, it's called like something called March of the Machines, and that's a set now, and the one that was coming out is called March of the Machines Aftermath.
Epilogue to the
yeah, and it was like,
oh, it's the third. It's the third piece. Got it.
Right, yeah. And it's like, it was, even if it was some duplicity, like he had a guy, buddy at a game shop, and he worked with him. I mean, the worst like other companies do is like, oh well, it's already out there. Start releasing stuff. Just start telling everyone about it. That way we can get some of the news cycle.
Yeah, apparently, like, the way they do these magic sets is, like, a whole big thing, and they have a whole, like, rollout strategy.
I watched the Jarvis Johnson, one of the YouTubers I watched, did something on it.
Yeah, it could happen here, did a short little thing on it as well. It's just fucking ridiculous. There's no excuse for summoning the goddamn Pinkertons.
And supposedly the rumor mill is Watsy is, this is not the first time the Watsy's used the Pinkertons.
Of course it's not.
Yeah, they're like, well, when you're this size, it's like, well, what is it? It just shows you, like, when you're a normal, you know, a size company, and you have normal thinking beings making rational decisions, like, and view people outside the organization as people, you can be cool. The moment you get to a certain size, it is like maximum force, you know?
Like, yeah, it's like everyone, the customer is just this just mouth-breeding Neanderthal that needs to be, that is both your source of your power and a threat all at the same time.
It's so funny because you know the Pinkertons ain't cheap either.
Yeah.
You know the Pinkertons ain't cheap. Like, it would, like, was the email that expensive, guys?
Yeah, was the phone call too much? Was like the sending a one guy to, like, you know, talk over?
Yeah, well, also it's like the guy's an MTG like card YouTuber. Like, just make it into make this into content. Do something smart. For once, Wizards of the Coast, do something smart.
Yeah, I swear. They're kind of lumbering and dumb at this point. I mean, I've never been that huge into their products at all. And just the more and more they go down this path of stupidity, the less and less I'm inclined to do anything with them.
Yeah, well, it's also just, you know, they've gone from, they're just like, their only response to everything now is like harsh corporate overcorrective nonsense and then backpedaling.
It's like, authoritarian. Mm-hmm. It's straight to the authoritarian, like, it just, we gotta control this.
The people in charge have no soul. Like, understood. They don't know what they own. They don't care. Like, and they don't think you're people. So,
yeah. I continue to feel bad for the creatives, and the people who, like, actually have hands on the product. But, like, the machinery above them is just fucking rusted and vile.
This is why I kind of like, D&D aside, this is why I kind of like RPG companies typically, is just because they're much smaller, and you don't go into writing RPGs to make a lot of money. No. Yeah. Like, you just don't. You're not going to. D&D is an exception to that rule.
It's usually a labor of love.
Yeah, it's more of a labor of love. Because it's a lot less people in the corporation, it's a lot more direct interface between author and customer and reader and fan, and they understand the situation a lot more readily.
Well, yeah, like if you want the, it's like, well, we don't have any corporate insiders on old from old Wizard of the Coast who had been, you know, we haven't had games run for us by anyone official from Wizard of the Coast, but we sure, you know, we sure do interact with normal sized game studios normally on this podcast.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. That's some great, there. We've had some great conversations and games and whatnot with people like Onyx Path and
yeah, they've
yeah, and a whole bunch of others from
they seem like good eggs to me. I don't know.
They are pretty much good eggs. Yeah, I mean, but yeah,
there's so, like five of them, like who, yeah, like five people in the official company
and a small army of freelancers
and but, a small army of freelancers. Yes.
But yeah, I just every time with Wizards, it's something. It's just fucking something.
Yep.
So I'm done.
Like, we cannot have nice things. We're not allowed to have nice things. Mm-hmm. God damn. So we're gonna move right along. I had not much news. I do.
There's a slow trickle of werewolf stuff coming out.
Yes, there is. I think we mentioned it last time. I can't remember. Yeah. August is the release date for the official Werewolf 5th edition.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, thank you for reminding me, because I did. There have been some, I wouldn't say leaked, but they have been revealed a couple of excerpts and pages for the different tribes.
Yeah, they did one for Glasswalkers.
Yes.
Which, interesting. There's a minor controversy with it. I don't really want to give it much discussion.
Yeah,
there was an image that somebody used an image that looked a whole lot like a real person, and that sucks. But
yeah,
I don't think it's worth much blather about it.
But I read it and actually got into it. Like, I read it and I was like, oh, that's an interesting approach. Like, they're like, instead of it being like this hard like pro, they are pro technology and humanity. But they sort of have this more like, why wouldn't we use these tools?
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's a little bit of a more of a, humanity's kind of conquered the world. Why wouldn't we use these tools to do our job? You guys are idiots for not doing it.
Well, I think we're going to see a lot of most of the elders are dead.
Yes.
And the young people are the ones who have to deal with this shit. And so we're going to see a lot of new perspectives, a lot of new ways of looking at old traditions.
Yeah, they have this new thing. It's very similar to how the clans work. They have like sort of a boon. They have a minor benefit, and then they have a ban. And for Glassworkers, they now have Spider as their totem. Mm-hmm. And Spider is not intrinsically a part of the Weaver anymore. It is its own. It is sort of a thing that bridges the gap between the Wild and the Weaver. So that will be interesting when we get more into the book.
Yeah. So looking forward to that. I don't know if I'm going to run it. I definitely want to play it.
Yeah. But I'll read it. Like
I'll definitely give it a read.
Give it a good read and see what happens.
But let's move on to
To the topic at hand. So we're getting a little, as a show, as everything, and as people, we're getting a little bit long in the tooth. We have been around the block a few times now and again, and so we wanted to now have a sort of a retrospective on our viewpoints on gaming. What has changed since we started this podcast and gave you, audience, our opinions on things? Because we have like 7 years worth of content out there that exists, and we wanted to look back at ourselves and go, has things changed, or has some things been reinforced?
I know I, for one, you know, I was never the most enthusiastic, like, stick jock in terms of live action games. But I think I can officially say, with me getting older and, you know, all the things that have happened, I'm pretty much on the tail end of Boffer LARP experience. Like, I came back to play one, and it's fun, and I will continue to play it for the foreseeable future. That's a local game, Gardens of Destiny. But overall, I think I'm just mostly done with that kind of gaming.
Okay.
When we started this podcast, you know, I was running a Boffer LARP, but, you know, I had played one for a good long while.
Yep.
It's just, you know, and I think I've discussed this previously, just the shine has gone off it for me. There's so much other stuff to do in gaming. Mm-hmm. And, you know,
and in life.
And in life. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And but, you know, the reason that I'm going to continue playing this one is because I get to spend time with my friends.
Yes.
Which is a rare commodity, especially, you know, we're still in the pandemic times, even though it doesn't feel like the worst of it. But I do cherish the opportunity to actually spend physical time with my friends. But that aspect of it. Nah.
Yeah, I get you. I'm actually very much kind of in the same boat as you, Scott. I could take it or leave it at this point, but the idea of also the idea of, you know, playing Gardens and like just hanging out with y'all and actually getting to LARP with y'all again. Like, yeah. That's what I'm going to go for. I could actually like give a shit less about like, yeah, I'll probably find something to do or something I'm interested in or something like that. But in terms of like my primary motivating factor now is one, to do something about my shitty body. And also to see my friends. And I'll say, before I get back out on that fucking field, dude, I've got to do something. Like, I got to do something about this mess. Because I can't be like, oh, I put too much weight on my ankle again.
Oh, wait, dude, I'm going to warn you now. That's everyone at either ATE and Gardens of Destiny. That's what I hear after almost every goddamn fight. Because we've gotten so much older and we're not as young as we used to be, someone has done something, nothing severe, nothing life-threatening, nothing weird like that, but just like, oh, I twisted wrong, or I picked this up the wrong way, or I moved it. So really, all you need to do is just start walking around.
I just need to start moving around more. Yep. Guys, I'm not shitting you. I literally bent over to pick up like a blueberry off a plate on a slightly low table and my back popped and then I couldn't walk for a day. Like, yep. It makes no goddamn sense. Anyway, this isn't about our shitty bodies.
That is something that has changed. Yeah, I will say this.
We all got older and I think it's hitting me like a freight train right now. Like,
yeah.
Because I hit 35. I'm 35. Yes, I'm 35. Sorry, the pandemic made time a blur.
Oh, yeah. I forgot how much younger you were than me and Scott.
Yeah, I've always been the babu.
Yeah, yeah. I know you were younger. I just didn't know. I couldn't remember how much younger you were compared to us. As for me, it's like my body and LARPing. For a while, I went back and forth and just kind of quitting it and stopping it. And that was mostly my own personal perspective of actually more about gaming than my physical body, though that did play a factor in it, because I get through these spells of weird, I've got asthma, I've got weird things with my back. They flare up and they cause complications and they exacerbate one another and it makes me unmotivated to do certain things. But from a more of a gaming perspective, LARPing to me is always is something I've really liked and wanted to do well and enjoy. But always in the back of my mind, there's a thing of going, you're a goddamn idiot. Like, you're out in the middle of the woods looking like a lunatic, running around, hitting people with plumbing supplies. You could be, like, you know, reading a book, going to see a movie, you know, being like a normal human being. The fuck you doing?
Well, I mean, like I said, I'm mostly in it to spend time with my friends. I probably interact with, at best, 30% of the game.
Yes.
In terms of like, you know, like figuring stuff out, I've gotten into a thing with my character where I will mix up like fruity refreshing drinks and be kind of a bartender. That's fun. It's fun to have a shtick.
Yep. Yeah.
John Nunn has something. A friend John Nunn has something like that at Fractured, where he does he does warm teas and the like a bunch of different, a tea bar essentially.
Ooh,
in
nice.
The fall times. And then like a lemonade/sparkling fresh iced tea thing in the summer, which he has a whole little rig for that, which he deploys.
That's cool.
Yeah, and Scott's been doing that. That's a delight, because I went back to Gods because I got inspired for a character, and it made me like I was in a good health mood. I was getting better about certain things, and sort of like got inspired for a new character, and that's why
that's still happening. Matt, are you still on the upswing here? Are we on the butt part of the sentence?
No, we're on the upswing. It's fine.
Good. That's good. I'm glad because the way that sentence was really, it's like, ooh, is there a butt coming, Matt? Don't tell me.
I'm enjoying it. Nice. I get to walk around, be a Rocky himbo, and hit people with sticks. And I don't run anywhere. I don't run. This man is not running. I will quickly move. I will quickly walk my way to the fight.
Yeah. I'm going, when I go, it is full stick jock, halberd, like my old stomping grounds, old familiar, because I have no intention. I'm not challenging myself. I don't feel like learning anything. I'm going to swing this motherfucking weapon real good and maybe not fall down a lot. And hopefully that will and not run anywhere.
Like, well, I mean, our friend of the show and cast member on the upcoming Undesirables adventure game, coming to Twitch and YouTube on a computer screen near you, her god's character is very much a channel them to me. I'm not going to run.
Yes.
Like, stick me at a choke point and I'll fuck them up.
Yep.
And also, I think it would be pretty, because you know what I haven't gotten to do in a while? I haven't gotten to stand shoulder to shoulder with Abby and whoop ass.
Mm-hmm.
It's fun to do. Like, we just work well together.
Well, her character is going to be retiring very soon, which means the one of the biggest fighters in the game is going to disappear.
That and sometimes so, isn't the worst thing in the world.
Nope.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's good to recalibrate the prowess level and the
combat level. Yep.
Combat level to where. Because the one thing I heard, you know, I know things are move a lot faster in that game. Like, Zerging is more of a, it was my experience with the game was it was very Zergy. Like, in that you can get back up real, real, real fast and repair your stuff real, real fast by comparison to other games.
Mm-hmm. That's
what that meant. Anytime I got dropped, which was a lot because the numbers were big, I was up in like 5 minutes no matter what. And it was like, okay, I guess I'm going back. Oh, God, I'm down again.
Yeah, well. That's just how that game goes sometimes.
I know, the up-down game.
All right, what about other things that have changed? I think, Ryan, you mentioned something to me earlier.
Yeah, well, anyone who listened to our, like, RPG Days questions, like, a million years ago, I actually remember specifically saying that I don't actually care that much about the art in RPG books. And, you know, honestly, as my testosterone levels have dropped and I've consumed more soy...
topical.
I just understand like the amount of love, care, and work that goes into those things, and I'm finding more desire to collect nice things of nice art. Like, I've wanted to collect more art, so one of those things is in the form of RPG books, because there's a lot of cool art in there.
Mm-hmm. Yep, yeah, it's part of it.
That's kind of a big shift for me in terms of like how I view one thing. Not a massive shift. It really only affects, you know, how much money I spend on this shit. But at least, you know, it's a change of stance.
Yeah, the art book, I totally agree, because like I always like the art in RPG books because of the evocative nature of them. Mm-hmm. You can't not tell me the Emerald book, the original Vampire Emerald book didn't have some amazing goddamn art in there that just made you sink immediately into the setting of this gringy dark alley, like wet alley, just setting that told you where you were living.
That's the oldie but goodies, and I'm loving the new stuff too.
Yeah.
Like, I'm really liking the art that I'm seeing for the new werewolf.
It
looks very visceral, very cool. You know, Onyx Path knocks it out of the park pretty much every book in terms of the art that they have. And yeah, I have always liked art in RPG books. I'm glad that your heart has grown three sizes.
It's been
drawn three sizes bigger.
Yeah.
It's so interesting when you think about you want to know something that's probably changed a lot in the fucking time since we started this podcast, people's corporate and people's relationships to the physical books
has
changed a lot, like seismic. Where it's like Wizards is going to come to a point where it's like you're gonna have to ask people to get these motherfuckers. Like, you're not it's going to be a lot harder to move physical books because the interoperability of like having your shit on your phone is just a huge draw for some people. So yeah, that's kind of a shift that's taking place now.
Yeah, that shift was just starting when this podcast started. Mm-hmm. Like the predominance. I mean, we had PDFs for a good while at that point, but just the ability, the accessibility of them on your computer, interacting with an internet connection to process and do things for you, has gone to the moon and back.
And just the ability to have a fully indexed, searchable version of a rule book.
Mm-hmm.
Or a setting book, for that matter, is just in some ways, one could argue for the purposes of actually on the fly GMing.
Better. Oh my God.
It's just better, you know, like in every way, shape, or form. So I think what we're going to, you know, this is Brian's prediction for the future. Like, we're going to see a very interesting shift in the relationship to physical books for the, like, in the hobby. Whereas, like, Wizards should be fucking licking your fucking scrotum for buying their books. Like, there is no, you know what I'm saying? Like, you should get big discounts if you bought the book.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we'll see where that market goes. There's funny enough, there's a big conversation in the Games Workshop spheres of games of like, because they'll give you free core rules and they'll give you free War Scrolls, aka your minis and what their abilities are, but like your core army rules are still behind the paywall over their books, and those books are not cheap.
Mm-hmm.
And they change the rules about every 6 months to a year as far as like not additions but like addendums to it, and those aren't free either. So there's a big conversation about like, why aren't all of this free?
When are you done?
Like, yeah.
Do I own this? At what point do I own this thing that I?
When is it complete?
Yeah.
When do I not have to update myself?
Yeah.
And pay for the privilege.
As for my changes, I've sort of been thinking, I'm stalling as it were, what changes I've had since I started. I think I deeply much more appreciate the story aspect of it. Like, I used to be extremely about the rules and setting was there, but the rules and that stuff, but my thought process of how those get married together and then like has been exceeded by like, yeah, rules are always be there, you can make it up, but the setting and what's there is really important to making the game feel a certain way.
I care so much more about setting now than the machinery. Just because I can do the machinery, dude.
That's the kicker. We're so used to good machinery now, and we're experienced at it, that machinery sort of becomes second nature, and that gives way to just exploring the setting.
Welcome to my world, boyos.
Well, you're a little different there, Mr. Man. You've always been story first type of a guy.
That's
which
right.
Is perfectly fine. Everyone's different. But you were never a machineries guy like me and Ryan are.
I mean, I can appreciate the machinery. Like, I can appreciate, especially when it's ties into the setting and you know, makes the rules serve the story and serve the character.
I mean, White Wolf has always been, you know, miles ahead in terms of that, because, you know, they're like the world of D&D, you know, does the rules of D&D, they have obviously, they, you know, you can turn them into something that marries setting. We saw the movie. It was great.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but, you know, it's a bit more, you have to bend things a lot more and you have to do things a little different. And, you know, it doesn't translate as beautifully. I don't know any way to say it.
Well, you know, it's just, you know, I've never been concerned about making a machine of pure mechanical efficiency to stab works.
Oh yeah, intentionally fucking over my own characters in terms of like their stat distribution. Mm-hmm. Or like
non-optimization.
I will create more like my bard in, you know, speaker in our
Witchlight.
in our Witchlight game, I don't think he's as good a bard as he could probably be in terms of how his stats and his all of his proficiencies and stuff and his spell choices I made. Absolutely not. Like, and also being College of Spirit fucking sucks. But I mean, the flavor. How can you say no to that flavor?
I mean, I made a character recently that is in many ways deeply unoptimized for almost entirely story reasons. Let's say I'm playing, going to be playing a Vita Kinetic who is supposed to be a Quanta Kinetic.
Oh no.
And so he's got the auxiliary mode in Quanta Kinesis, and his favorite mode is in Quanta Kinesis.
Oh man, that's so expensive.
I know, it's so bad. And like, you can't get multiple of those.
No, you can't, not to a long time.
No, you just flat out can't. You can only buy favorite mode once.
Oh no, favorite mode. I meant like another dot of Quanta Kinesis.
Oh yeah, no, I'm never gonna. Well, I can buy 3 dots of Quanta Kinesis.
Yes, you can buy 3 1 levels, and then you have to wait a long time to get 2 dots in the.
Yeah. Hey, you get that enhancement when rolling, so you'll.
Well, I mean, that's part of the character is that I have a backstory recently. He was basically it was a good thing that he didn't get into the Shitravaranu. Like literally a month before they all got killed.
Yep.
But it's a bad thing because he then, became a Vita Kinetic, and because he didn't know that the chamber was not gone. Like, he didn't know that he would have a chance in the future to become a Quanta Kinetic, but now he's locked out of it. So that's going to be part of his thing is like, okay, so we're going to figure this out.
I have a large Quanta Kinetic chip on my shoulder.
Yeah, he has
a large Quanta Kinetic.
Well, he's also a Norsa Vita Kinetic. So
of course.
So
yeah.
When he found out, he was a little bit cross. He was like, motherfucker.
Oh, yeah, you guys. Oh, Grandpa, thanks.
But now he's on the hunt for figuring shit out. So, yeah, deeply unoptimized. Another thing I've found that has changed is I have become more appreciative of the short campaign.
Oh, you can totally see that. Yeah.
I've run several like 6 or I have run and am in the process of running like 6-7 game campaigns, which are just nice. It's just nice.
Yep. It took me a while to start figuring out that a lot of people, most people's games, and I'm not talking about games that just fall apart and nobody plays anymore, but like, no, we played for like maybe most of a year and that's it. Then we're done. I was like, what?
I understand that a lot more now too. I think I used to like the idea of, I don't know, like if a campaign ended after like a year and a half, I'd be like, oh, come on. Like, which is like, holy shit. But now it's like, oh god, we made it a year. That's so cool.
Yeah.
Are we wrapping up so we don't fucking lose this juice? Like,
Yeah, I mean, like, I found that if you start out saying, hey, this is going to be X number of campaign sessions, we might go a little bit longer to wrap things up. It means that you're in it to win it. You have a tight 5.
Yeah, your perspective changes a little bit. Also, as getting older, and this is very much about the theme of the show, is you have less time and you realize you want to maximize that and really focus down on what makes games important to you and your experience with them.
Yeah, I mean, I think I'm going to be establishing I have a one long-standing campaign, at least for what I'm running. I'm going to run one long-standing campaign. And then everything else is going to be little stuff.
Sure, yeah. You can't have multiple long ones. Yeah, we're going to see what happens when Temple of Elemental Evil, when the official campaign is done, when the book is done, the adventure is done. The GM is like, we can continue on because he knows Greyhawk very, very well. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of other stuff he's seeded already if we wanted to do it afterwards. But it's up to us to decide if we want to do that, which is also a good way to do it. It's like, hey, this was a relatively short, condensed thing. Do you guys want to continue going or do we want to do something else?
That's why I like the Golden Vault thing. I can just be like, after each heist, I can be like, you guys want to do one more? Like, you guys want to go try for the next heist? You know, I mean, it ends out at like level like 11 or 12, which I think you're stealing the Book of Vile Darkness, which is like, good lord.
Oh, yeah.
That's going to be dicey. Don't read it.
Actually, I wanted to point something out, Scott. I think from my time knowing you, but also from doing the podcast, I think you've grown in your appreciation of mechanics. I think you've learned more about mechanics and have done more with mechanics through just role-playing with you and the like, and running your other games too. Like, you mm-hmm. needed to know the mechanics, and you've learned it, and you've incorporated that knowledge into your playstyle and your GM style.
Well, I think what Matt's saying is, for someone who didn't like D&D from the outset of this podcast, you play it very, very well in terms, like, in both, you know, the role play stuff and the machine stuff.
Yeah, right. That's you. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it has its place. I mean, you know, it's the 5e is a good system.
It sure.
That's
is.
What I'm going to say. 5e is a good system. It excised all the shit that always made me roll my eyes and not have any fun. Like, it doesn't get in its own way in terms of what I want in a game.
Yeah.
So I kind of chalk that up to, you know, the sandbox not being full of turds.
But also, like, not just D&D, but Onyx Path stuff. Like, you've bitten into that real well, and you've learned a lot from it.
Well, I mean, I think that's just a fundamentally more cinematic and story-based story system.
Yeah, it is. What I'm suggesting is a good thing.
Yeah, I know. I'm saying just I take your compliment.
Thank you. I'm trying to think of what else has changed besides getting older and
a lot. You know. Honestly, we actually, you know, for a topic where we were kind of like,
I mean, the utilization, and this goes into sort of the PDF thing, utilization of the internet for role playing. I mean, obviously the pandemic did what it did. It shot that into the stratosphere.
Well, it got a lot of people over the hump of, we have to be sitting around a table, and we have to, you know, be rolling dice, and we have to be, you know, and, you know, the thing that we're using right now to record this podcast, Zoom. It's just fucking good.
It works. They made
it
work.
Fucking works.
Yep. And like all the stuff that's going on with D&D 1, you had Roll 20. Roll 20 is really good. All the other platforms have sort of solidified. Also, like, even me, because we've gotten older, I love role playing in person.
Mm-hmm.
But I cannot underestimate the usefulness of, I'm tired, I don't want to have to, as soon as I get home, stuff something into my face and immediately drive for another 30 to 45 minutes to go to a friend's house to play, to drive then 30 minutes back to do something like this during a weekday. Like, it's inconvenient.
Or like, once a week is like, I can get away with that shit, like, once a week, once every 2 weeks, like, I feel okay. But if I, you know, back when I was doing that shit, like, twice or three times a week, it's like, Jesus Christ. Like,
yeah, no, it's one of those things of, I envy the kids these days, because, you know, they're the kids these days who have free time and don't have, you know, soul crushing jobs. Not only do they have the capacity to, you know, go to each other's houses and play games, but they can also do it on the internet. Like,
actually, they're more likely to do it on the internet than be
they
in
are
person.
More likely. They yeah.
They're more savvy with it.
All I'm saying is, we need to figure out a way to take youth from the young
and give it to ourselves.
Give it back to ourselves.
I know this is us bitching about our age and everything, but I...
Now, Scott, can I I have a pamphlet here that might interest you. Have you heard of the Protocols of the Elders of Zion? Now, those are suggestions.
I like protocols. I like order and structure.
Yeah, on how we should go about exactly the thing that you're talking about.
Really? Okay. Now, do I have to do anything to my dick?
No, actually.
Are you sure?
Even better.
I'm pretty sure. Like, it doesn't have to make sense.
All right, good.
Yeah. Just
give me your bank account number.
Yeah, the cruelty's bad.
The cruelty's baked in. Gotcha.
Okay. Yeah. And no slight on the youth. You guys do not you. Ever. You're going to inherit the earth. We're sorry.
I think you kids are all right.
Yeah, you guys are fine.
TikTok's completely fucked up, though, and it's fucked up the way people's brains work. So I just, you know, I genuinely believe that, like, I didn't see in my lifetime. It's like, Listen, man, I'm a criminal from the olden times, I guess. Like, I didn't film my crimes. I didn't do devious licks where I was causing property damage and stealing urinals and shit, like, and filming it. There's always been, of course, there's always been bored teens who just are doing something because they have to do something because there's literally nothing in the world for them to do. because
everyone hates teenagers.
Everyone hates teenagers. They have no money. And, you know, they have no way, usually have only one person who can get them anywhere. Yep. And they're constantly treated like prisoners in their own schools, which are also shooting galleries. So I can understand why they're a little fucked up.
Yep. Anyways. Trying to think of what else, anything else has changed.
Should we just replay The Kids Aren't All Right by Offspring now?
Yeah. Just
like our outro music.
If we could afford the royalties, yeah.
Play 10 seconds. We're good. Play 10 seconds of it. We're good.
What about that $40 hold music?
Oh, man. That's a deep cut.
I remember the $40.
Oh.
RIP, Will and Mikey.
Yeah, RIP. But if there's nothing else, guys, I mean, a lot has changed in us and everything. Scott, do you want me to do the thing?
Well, no, I think I'll sign it off. So if you've been picking up on a theme in this episode about age and change and things not being what they were, there's a reason for it.
Not as good as they once were.
Not as good as it was. So, you know, we had the old feed for a long time, and then, you know, we had to change things up, and we were doing this on the Simulacra feed for a good long time. But like all things, there comes a time. So Polyhedron, as of next episode, is going to be hanging it up. Mm-hmm. I'm going to talk offline with my fellows a bit about how we're going to try and preserve that archive, because the way we're going to do it just isn't going to fucking work.
Yep.
But I do want to have it available to people on the Simulacra Patron in some way. So we'll figure that out. But yeah, next episode is going to be the last episode of Polyhedron. Period. End of story. It's not going through another mutation.
No. Yeah, nope. We're done. We're done.
So
we're going to figure out a different way to hang out with each other. You know, we're just going to have different ways of doing that. I guess you guys don't have to be in on it.
Yeah, exactly. You guys are free. You can go.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah. So next episode, we haven't really decided what we're going to do about it. Now's your opportunity to send us an email or, you know, say anything you want to say to us, have any suggestions you want to throw our way.
Yep.
But other than that,
it's been a hell of a ride, guys.
We're expecting maybe a slightly longer episode just because we're probably going to reminisce a lot. We're going to talk about stuff. We're going to look at things. We're expecting to get wacky too. Like, going to go off the page on it a little bit.
Goofing
around. This was the last thing close to a structured conversation you're ever getting out of us.
Yeah. Absolutely. But I mean, And we'll say a lot more, but obviously we've enjoyed ourselves.
We've
enjoyed doing this for you all. We've learned a lot, grown a lot, hence the theme of what this episode was all about. So until next time, everyone.
You're also fucking nice.
Yeah, I totally forgot. Like, my brain just went flatlined.
Yet another reason to hang this.
So from everyone here at Polyhedron, go. I didn't want to say go roll your dice.
It's all right. This is all thing.
Go where your fun is. Fuck it. That was where it was.
Go roll some dice, guys. We're going to get out of bed. Oh, his binky. He needs the bed.
I need a binky.
His binky and his whiskey. It's fine. All right. Night, guys.
Binky and the whiskey.
Love you.